Sovereign Grace Chapel, located at 135 Annabelle Lane in Beaver, West Virginia, invites you to listen to a gospel message concerning Jesus Christ our Lord.
If you would this morning, and you have your Bibles, turn with me to Psalm 15. Psalm 15. And I'm going to read the whole Psalm. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly, and worketh righteousness, and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a vile person is contemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. He that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent. He that doeth these things shall never be moved. I'm sure there are a lot of people who think, you know, in this world, who think that this might could be them. In this, they may have some thoughts like the following. I have turned over a new leaf, and now I am living wholly before God. So now I can dwell there. I have made my decision for Jesus, so now I can dwell there. I know there are more than these, more sayings than these, but that's enough for now to mention, because it does not take much to show the lie of such claims. First of all, if you have turned over a new leaf, then it means before you turned over a new leaf, you were not doing those things you claim you are now doing. If you made a decision, then it means you at one time did not make this decision you claim to have made now. But this is a holy hill. This is a place set apart by God Himself. The text certainly does answer the question for us in two ways. It tells us who will not dwell there and who will dwell there. The one that doeth these things it speaks of in this passage will dwell in this place. Those who do not do this will not dwell in this place. The one that doeth these things it speaks of in this passage will dwell in this place. There is one that has done these things. It certainly was not fallen sinful man. This does not say he that eventually does these things. It says he who does these things. That means completely and perfectly. I hope the listeners will be honest with themselves and to God. We in and of ourselves could never do these things, but we do not have to rely on ourselves to admit these things. God tells us that we would never do these things in and of ourselves. We, as we are born in Adam, do not have what it takes, you might say, to do these things or to be these things. This is not talking about us. We can step back one more psalm and find that out. Psalm 14. Psalm 14:1 says, "The fool has said in his heart, 'No God.' They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good." Now someone might say, "Well, this says the fool has said, and I'm not a fool." But we must read it further because it defines to us itself who it is talking about. In verse 2 and 3 we read, "The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men," that's all of us, "to see if there were any that did understand and seek God." They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. The things spoken of in Psalm 15 are certainly good. But this says here that there is none that doeth good. Not one. So we can see this is clearly talking about all of mankind from the beginning to the end of time. There is none that doeth good. That good that we read about in Psalm 15. So there must be someone who can do these things, or God would not have told us this. Again, someone might say, but this is just in the Old Testament. God made things different after New Testament time, after Christ came. Paul the Apostle tells us, and he is referencing the Old Testament, and it says in Romans 3, 9 through 18, and if you would turn with me there, Romans 3. Romans 3, 9 through 18. See if this sounds familiar. What then? Are we better than they? Talking about Jews and Gentiles. No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. This was in the time of the apostles, so this is in our time. This was after Jesus Christ had ascended to the right hand of the Father. Paul, by the inspiration of the Spirit of God, tells us it is still this way, and it will always be this way with sinful men. Man has always been this way from the fall of our daddy Adam until the end of time. Man in and of himself will always be this way. So what are we to do? We find ourselves, if God is pleased to reveal this to us, but we find ourselves in sort of a pickle. Because we do not and cannot do these things spoken of in Psalm 15. But if we do not do this, then how can we ever abide in His tabernacle or dwell in His holy hill? Well, with man, this is impossible. Man is totally incapable of doing these things. I do not say this to be mean, but if you think you can, you are deceived. God says you cannot, and what God says is so. So go back to Psalm 14. 14:4 says, have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge? The answer is no. They do not have any knowledge, and they will do what they can to prevent those who trust, whose trust is in the Lord alone, and they themselves, they will prevent them from calling upon the name of the Lord. When someone like me tells you the truth of God, those to whom God has not done a work of grace on will always stop their ears, because they have not that righteousness which is of God. The one who has, can, and does do this is God Himself. There is but one who can, did, and does do these things. That is God Himself manifest in the flesh, Jesus Christ our Lord. Psalm 14:7 says, oh, that the salvation of Israel were come out of Zion, when the Lord bringeth back the captivity of His people. Jacob shall rejoice, and Israel shall be glad. The salvation of Israel is Jesus Christ the Lord. And it is he that would be lifted up on that tree to be made sin for those whom he came to save. God, the Holy One, and the only one who is holy in and of himself, had to come down as a man. And he did in the person of the Son, Jesus Christ the Lord. What do we read of him in 1 Peter 2 and 21, verses 21 and 22? For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Here we can see this as, he that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart, that we read in Psalm 15. He never told a lie, he always told the truth. Scripture in fact says, he, that is Jesus Christ, is the truth, the way, and the life. 1 Peter 2 and 23 we read, who, when he was reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. This is telling us that he did not backbite with his tongue. He never spoke a lie, so he never did evil against his neighbor. In fact, the scripture says that he died the just for the unjust. So not only did he not speak evil of them, but he did something for them, even though it is certainly true that those for whom he died were very sin against God himself. Then in 1 Peter 2 and 24 we read, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. This very verse shows us that Jesus Christ, in what he did, being the very righteousness of God, the scripture says, he did hold those in contempt that are vile, and yet he does this. But those for whom he died for, because he took their sins in his own body, and they being in him, can at the appointed time fear the Lord. He certainly did swear to his own hurt when he made an oath by himself to himself, that in Hebrews 6 and verse 13. For when God made promise to Abraham because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. This was the promise of the coming seed, and that seed was Christ, in which he would come as the sacrifice to God for sin. Him being made sin for us, and he was set like a flint to do this work, which he did and completed it fully, being forsaken of God. He cried with a loud voice, it is finished, or tetelestai, paid in full. His mind could not be changed from this work. He now sits alive at the right hand of God as a man. He did nothing but die himself, not taking anything from anyone, but giving everything, and it is he that shall never be moved. 1 Peter 2:25 says, for ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. So those for whom he died for being born just as every those for whom he died being born just as every other fallen son or daughter of Adam is born in corruption, these it says here we were sheep going astray, but because of what he did in dying on that tree has returned us to him that owns us, and it is he that is our shepherd and the overseer of our souls. He is our salvation. We can in and of our own selves do nothing, even in light of what Jesus Christ did for his elect, those chosen in him from before the foundation of the world. Back in Psalm 14, we read, oh, that salvation of Israel were come out of Zion, when the Lord bringeth back captivity of his people. Jacob shall rejoice, and Israel shall be glad. This was written looking forward to that time when Jesus Christ would come. We can now read this. Oh, that salvation of Israel has come out of Zion. The Lord has brought back the captivity of his people. Jacob does rejoice, and Israel is glad. Jacob are those who God chose in Christ before the foundation of the world. Romans 9 says, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. To look at what God says, that all men as he sees them, and it is all about what God sees. But as he sees mankind, and that is utterly sinful and wicked men. Oh, the depths of mercy that come from him to set his love on some Jacobs from before the foundation of the world. God hates wickedness and pride. So it is no wonder that he hated Esau. The wonder is that he loved Jacob. But then it says, Israel shall be glad. Israel here is the Israel of God. Scripture says, they are not all Israel which are of Israel. Meaning, just because they are an Israelite by blood does not make them a true Israelite of God. Those whom God chose from before the foundation of the world, they are the true Israel of God. God will in time bring them to him. It is what he came in this world to do. So Jesus Christ has accomplished salvation. Jesus Christ will reveal salvation to man. This he does through the preaching of the gospel, that which I am doing right now. God, for those he chose, will in time do a work for them in grace, giving them life. But not just life for life itself. They are given life so that they might hear the gospel and believe. This they will do when God is pleased for this to happen. It will not happen before that time, and it will not happen after that time. What God does is sure. If you are a vessel created unto mercy, there will come a time when this gospel will conquer you. It will tear down those walls of rebellion that you have built up against God, against his Son, against his gospel, and against his people. He will leave you exposed, naked before him, with nothing for protection. If God does this for you, you will come begging and crying for mercy and be glad when he gives it. I hope that there are some who hear this and this is the case for you. I pray that there are those out there hearing this and they have that gut feeling hearing his word proclaimed that they are just that close from being destroyed in the holy justice before God, knowing they cannot abide in his tabernacle nor in his holy hill. Oh, the sweet sound of the gospel to those ears. There is a place of refuge. It is in his tabernacle, which is in his holy hill. Jesus Christ is that place. Oh, that you might be found in him. I can tell you this because the one speaking to you is one who has found refuge there, knowing myself to be at enmity with God as I am born in Adam. I know that it must be that he died for me and rose to eternal life for me. If he did, I am forever placed in him. That is Jesus Christ, the tabernacle and holy hill of God. I am glad he humbled me from my pride, just as he did to Nebuchadnezzar. So that now, instead of crying, if that is who God is, I don't want a God like that, to saying this. Daniel 4 and verse 37. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. Which will also lead us to doing this, Psalm 9 and 11. Sing praises to the Lord, which dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people His doings. Oh, His work. And if it is any work worthy of God, it will be His work. Because we have no good works apart from Him working in us, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. But those works of His we proclaim. We sing praises to Him. We lift up our voice in supplications to Him. So if there are those who are listening to that might say, I have turned over a new leaf, and now I am living wholly before God. So now I can dwell there in His holy hill. Throw your works into the dung pile, because that is where they belong. Scripture says that even our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in His sight. You might look really good before men, but men are not going to save you. It is the sight of God that matters. The only thing God sees as righteous, that which He calls His righteousness, is Jesus Christ the Lord. Drop your works now and bow down to this sovereign Lord who does all things right. May it be that He has been pleased to abase you, because we know from Scripture that He is able to abase. The question for most of us should be, will He? You will not come to Him bringing your works in front of Him, because He will destroy you. It must be that Christ has stood in your place, and that when God sees you, He sees His Son, Jesus Christ. Therein will the righteousness of God be seen by God, and there alone. Any other way, and you will fall. If there are those out there that might say, I have made my decision for Jesus, so now I can dwell in His holy hill. Your decision means nothing to God. God does not ask us to make a decision. God has chosen those for whom He was pleased to love. So it is all up to His choice. You must plead to Him for mercy. But if you are those who lift up your fist in defiance against God, the one that chooses and has placed His tabernacle in His holy hill, He will destroy you. The fact that you do not believe it does not at all affect God and what He has said. The fact that you do not believe this will in no way change God's mind. The fact that you do not believe this in no way disannuls God's word. His word is forever. The fact that you do not believe this just confirms to Scripture to be the truth. Because the Scripture says, there is none that seeketh after God. There is too much pride in that sinful, wicked heart. Lay down your arms against God. If you can do this, then He has given it to you to do this. If He has, you will gladly take side with God against yourselves. Knowing that this is the only thing that is just and right as it concerns you and your capital crimes against Him. Sin is a capital crime against God. The Scripture says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. This will never change. Either you will die that eternal death for yourself, or Jesus Christ died that death in your place. God will not at all acquit the guilty. Sin must be paid for, and the only place of safety is if He died for you. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have read that in two places, in the Old Testament, Psalm 14, and then in Romans chapter 3. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Again, this is what God says in His Word. You can fight against it all you want, but it's not going to change what God has said. He is a just God, and justice must be satisfied. It is saddening to see those who fight against this, knowing that I am born just as everyone else was, dead in trespasses and in sin. Knowing that this evil, wicked heart, the one we read about in Jeremiah, the heart that is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, we can't even know it. But knowing that all they need to do is to bow down to Him and believe Him, and they will be saved. But with men, this is impossible. Because they are dead and cannot see it, no matter how hard they look. But God be thanked. There are some whom He will bring. He will bring you low. He will humiliate you. He will bring you low, and He will reveal Himself to you, humbling you. If He does, you will see this very God I am proclaiming to you today, and you will be glad. You will not be able to get away from it. You will cry out, "Thank you, God, that Christ is your tabernacle. And thank you, God, for providing salvation and righteousness which dwells in your holy hill. You have brought salvation down to men in your anointed. The shepherd and bishop of our salvation has come to Zion. Praise your holy name." Now, just a reminder, at 12 noon on WVVACW, you can hear a portion of one of our Sunday morning messages. You can tune in and listen to one of those messages. Or, if you can, come here and be with us. We're just a little past Little Beaver State Park on Annabel Lane. We start at 10:30. Come hear Jesus Christ and Him crucified proclaim.